Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja.
Do you have any karta players, mridanga players?
Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivada Dhari Jaya Girivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivada Dhari Jaya Girivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivada Dhari Jaya Girivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivada Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chai Jai Kunja Bihari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jai Kunja Bihari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jai Kunja Bihari Natira vanachari jai kunde Radha Madhava जय खंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय खंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिराजकचार्य श्रोतश्रोतशिष्यमार ग्रेस श्रीलेसि भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। भक्ति सदंत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की नमचर शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गुरंगा, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय घोर भक्तवृंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 18 बिगिनिंग विथ टेक्स्ट नंबर 59। किचु देव मूर्ति है पर्वत उपरे, लोक कहे मूर्ति हाय गोफार भितारे। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु asked, are there any deities on top of this hill? The local people replied, there are deities on this hill, but they're located within a cave.
द्वे दिके माता पिता पुष्ट कलेवर, मध्य एक शिशु है शिवंग सुंदर।
There are a father and mother with well-built bodies, and between them is a very beautiful child who is curved in three places.
Shuni Mahaprabhu mane anandapana tinamuta dekiya se gopha upaghadhiya.
After hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. After excavating the cave, he saw the three deities.
Vrajendra Vajeshwara Kaila Charan Vandan Prema Veshe Krishnera Kaila Sarvanga Sparshan
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respects to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. With great ecstasy, ecstatic love, he touched the body of Lord Krishna.
Shabdin premaveshe nritya gita kaila tahan haite mahaprabhu khadira vanaila.
Every day the Lord chanted an ecstatic love, and finally he went to Khadhiravan. Khadhiravana. Purport: Khadhiravana is described in the Bhakti Ratnakar fifth wave.
Dekha kadi Khadhiravana vidite jagate Vishnu loka prapapti ekta gamana matrete.
Behold the forest named Khadhiravana, renowned throughout the universe. If one comes to Khadhiravan, he immediately can be elevated to Vishnu Loka. So Krishna, here Lord Chaitanya is at Nandagram, as described in the previous verses. He went to Pavan Sarovar and places like Kamyavan and Nandishwar Hill. This was established by, there was a king named Devamira, and he had a number of sons. The oldest son was Shurasena, and he had two wives. One was a Kshatriya, and the other one was a Vaishya. And so the Vaishya wife, she had many sons, and the chief of her sons was Parjanya Maharaj. And being the eldest son of Shursena, he became the king of the Vaishya community. So he was the Vrajeshwara. He was the king of Vraj. And so he had five sons and two daughters. The five sons were the Nandas. Oldest was Upananda. But everyone agreed, Upananda agreed, that Nanda Maharaj, he was most fit to be the king, most qualified. And so he married Yashoda. Yasha means fame. Da means to give. She bring, if anyone who associates with Yashoda is granted great fame. Like all the many residents of Vrindavan, they're like Vrishubhanu's mother is Sukhada, one who gives happiness. And there's Kirtida, one who gives glory, Kirti, Kirtan. And so they were living at Nandagram, at Nandishwar here, but they had no child. You know, as Krishna, Nanda Maharaj is described as quite elderly when Krishna was born. He had great protuberant belly and salt and pepper beard. He was not a very young man. He was old Baba. Not super old, but just black and white beard. So they had this understanding, if they go to Gokul, there would be good chance that they could have a child. And so they moved to Gokul, and Krishna was born. Then another number of demons started to come. So they discussed with the elders, said, too many demons here. Prabhupada was very happy to say that, although he is a king, one day they pack everything in a bullock cart in this next place, establish your next residence very easily. So they came to this side of the river, the Nandishwar side. They went to a place called Chitrakar. Then they went to Kamyavan, then Kailavan, and then eventually they moved back to Nandishwar here. So they moved to a few places for a certain period of time. So Nandishwar, that is actually Lord Shiva. Shiva wanted some seva. Lord Krishna said, you can become the hill where I'll perform many childhood pastimes, and we'll walk on you. Krishna and Balaram and all the Mother Yashoda and even Radharani will come. And you will get the, when Lord Krishna was there as a child, Lord Shiva came to visit and he wanted to have darshan. And Mother Yashoda saw him. She saw this scary Baba with skulls around his neck, snake around his neck, covered in ashes. And she said, no, you will scare my child. So she refused Lord Shiva. He left. He had to go out. She wouldn't let him see. So he went into the forest and he meditated on Krishna. And Krishna just started crying and crying and crying. And Mother Yashoda tried all different things to make Krishna happy. But he was just crying and crying and crying. So she was a little deductive. She understood, oh, I must have offended that sadhu. Because when things don't happen nice, it's when we make some offense. So she sent her servant to call the sadhu. And he came for darshan. And he said, what can I do for you? He said, I want to be able to see Krishna regularly. And you can give me some of his remnants. And so to this day, they have Shiva Didi there. And then they're offering his prasadam, Krishna's remnants. So this kund was called Nanda Sarovar. So when the kund gets too big, they call it Sarovar. So Nanda used to bathe there. He would rise early and bathe there. Radharani used to go there and she would cook for Krishna. There's nice water for cooking. So Krishna, one day Mother Yashoda, she was cooking this funny food. So Krishna was like, Are Maya, what sort of funny bhojan you're cooking today? What is this? What is this funny food? And she says, Lala, your Baba is going on pilgrimage. And so we are cooking fried food. This fried food will last a long time. Therefore, when he's going on pilgrimage, he can eat it along the way. She says, Maya, where is he going? Where is he going? Where is he going? She said, I'm too busy cooking. You go ask your father. Because little boys have too many questions. And so he went to... And still you find, even today, many people in India, they will not eat food outside of their home. Sometimes now, if you're Hare Krishna and ISKCON, someone will say, some other Hare Krishna will say, oh, you're fanatic. You don't want restaurant food? But this was regular in India. Prabhupada talked about the brahmanas. They were given by the government their own little kitchens. The brahmanas who engaged in the service and the work in the British government, they were given their own kitchen because they would not eat food cooked outside. So Nandamaraj, the same thing. He would not eat food cooked outside. So Mother Yashoda was cooking like this. So he went to Nandamaraj. Baba, where are you going? Where are you going? Baba, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Prayag. Prayag is where they have the Sangam. Triveni Sangam. Prabhupada went to Kumbh Mela there. Sangam is when two or more rivers come together. Like we have Bhakti Sangam. So many different devotees from different parts of the world that come together. So Triveni Sangam. Prayag. That's where Prabhupada had established one of his pharmaceutical businesses. It's in Prayag. And Bhaktisiddhanta had established a Gaudiya Math there as well. Now known as Allahabad. I was there in 2001. They had a humongous Kumbh Mela. He said, so I'm going to Prayag for pilgrimage to get purified. And so Krishna, he told him, no, it's very inauspicious to go today. You should go tomorrow. Tomorrow is Akshaya Tritiya. So Akshaya Tritiya, I think, let's see the calendar. Akshaya Tritiya is on Wednesday.
So Akshaya Tritiya is a very auspicious day. So Krishna was going the day before. He was planning to go the day before, tax day. He said, no, very unauspicious. You go on Akshaya Tritiya. Akshaya means without any limit. It continues on continuously. So he said, no, go on Akshaya Tritiya. So the next day in the morning when Nanda Maharaj went to take his bath in the Sarovar, he saw this huge person there. And he would roll in the dust in Vrindavan, and then he would bathe in the river, and he was laughing. Oh, 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 ah, ah, big, huge person was there. And so Nanda Maharaj said, who are you? He said, Prayag. He said, Prag? There's no Prag here. Who is it? No, I'm Prayag. Prayagraj. Tirtharaj, king of the Tirthas. Everyone comes and dumps their pap on me. You know what pap? Soda pap. Sin. In Russia, they call it griha. That's how they say sin. So we know what grihasta is. But griha, that's how they say sin in Russian language. So he said, everyone is dumping their sin on me. So once a year, I come here and I roll in the dust of Raj and take a bath in this Nanda Sarovar. And then I become Pavana, purified. Patita Pavana. He purifies the Patita. And then Nanda Maharaj noticed all these very beautiful ladies. Now, ladies of Raj, very beautiful, but this was a different type of beauty. They had silver and gold in their sari. Silver thread this way, gold thread this way. So he asked the lady, who are you? He said, I am Ganga. I am Yamuna, I am Saraswati, I am Naramada, I am Kaveri. He said, why are you here? Because everyone comes and puts their pap in us. So we come once a year. So he went back home. Krishna says, Baba, are you going? Where are you going? Are you going? Baba, are you going? He said, no, why should I take the trouble? All the places I wanted to go, they have come here. So since then, that place is known as Pavan Sarovar. And that was established by that Parjanya Maharaj. And Parjanya Maharaj is one of the reasons that Krishna appeared. So he prayed in this way. So we had the son, the grandson, known as Krishna. So opposite side of the hill, there's Yashoda Kun. And then there's a place called Haubilau. So Krishna when he was staying in Nandishwar here, that he would sometimes go a little further playing out, going out to the field. Little Krishna and Balaram. And so Mother Yashoda said, You don't go, don't play far. Don't play far because the how is going to get you. He says, what is this how? He has got big black ears and big red beady eyes and big sharp teeth and a long black nose with fire coming out and a big mouth to eat you up. And so Krishna would come and he would stay by Mother Yashoda and he would play over there. But we all know kids, they have very, little boys, they have very long memories. So again, Krishna was going out again, playing far out into the field. And Mother Yashoda said, again, don't play far. The how is going to get you. He said, what is this how? I've not even seen any how. He said, Mother Yashoda said, he has big black ears
and big red beady eyes, and long sharp teeth, and a big mouth, and fire coming out of his nose, and a big mouth, he will come and eat you up. So Krishna was coming again, playing next to Mother Yashoda. So again, he's, you know, little boys, they have very long memories. So again, he goes out again playing. And Mother Yashoda said, no, don't play. The how is going to get you. He said, what is this how? I have not seen it anyhow. She said, it has big black ears and big red beady eyes. A long black nose with fire coming out and a big mouth coming to eat you up. And then she opened her eyes really big. And don't look right now, it's coming. Run, run. And so she started running. And so Krishna started running. Lord Balaram started running. Stoka Krishna started running. Subal started running. So they all started to run back into the palace and close the gates. And she said, Krishna said, what is this how? I haven't seen any how. I've gone to that I have gone with my cows along the Yamuna. I have not seen any how. I've gone into Kaliya Lake and went down all the way to Pataloka. I have not seen any how. He said, oh, okay, this is just a story that we tell the kids to frighten them, she told him. Just a little story, we say. So then one day, Krishna was playing. When he was saying this, oh, what is this how you're saying? And then he said, but look, Mother Yashoda, it is right there. And then she sees this big monster with big pointy ears. And the monster, breathing fire out of his nose, started chasing all of them. So Mother Yashoda is running. Now the kids would not, they would play so much, they would not even come home to eat. So Mother Yashoda told the story. And Krishna, you know, Krishna was with Nanda Maharaj. They were eating. Krishna, Nanda, we saw this great demon. Mother Yashoda, but this is later on. So actually they saw Krishna had manifest this demon to play a trick on Mother Yashoda. So all of them started to run back into the palace. They locked the doors. And Krishna, he turned the demons into statues. And he told Mother, no, that was just a joke. That was my powers, my mystic powers. And she said, no, I saw this monster there. Now, and so no one can go outside. So the gates were closed for many days. And so Krishna's trick on Yashoda, he became subjected to his own trick because he couldn't play outside anymore because she wouldn't let him play outside. She said, I saw the monster. She said, no, the statue. And still the statues are there. You can go see stone statues of the how demon that he manifested. Then there is another place called Nanda Betak. Like we say, Beto. Sit. Betak is where you have a meeting. So a meeting is what? A meeting is a place where minutes are kept and hours are lost. You keep the minutes and the hours are lost. So Nanda Maharaj, they have this place where he had different places of what is called Betak, where they meet with his. He'd like to meet outside. You see, Nanda Maharaj, he was always traveling. It was like semi-nomadic. When they have one place, move, pack up, next place. So he likes to work outside, meet outside. So one day, Upananda, he called a meeting. And he said, you know, Garga Rishi came here and he said, this Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is probably some deva, some rishi, something. So it is imperative that, you know, you stop pulling his hair, stop tying him up with ropes, stop chastising him. And so Nanda Maharaj, he thought this was very funny. He said, Krishna, special person. Even an ordinary person can control his senses. But when you cook for Krishna, he eats like 50 times a day. And if something doesn't have enough sugar or salt, then he throws a big tantrum. And he's always lying. All the time he's lying. And he's also a thief. If anything's missing in Vraj, we know who did it. He's frightened by thunder. He comes to his mother. So he's speaking in this way, and they started to think of all of Krishna's naughty pastimes. And Nanda Maharaj started to laugh hysterically. He couldn't hold his laughter. Everyone started to laugh. They all started to meditate on Krishna's pastimes. And everyone started to laugh and laugh and laugh. And then the laughter went down. And then another one snickered. And then again everyone started to laugh, meditating on Krishna's naughty pastimes. And they forgot what the whole meeting was about. And therefore that's why devotees have meetings, so we can meditate on Krishna and his pastime. So these are some of the significances of the places that Lord Chaitanya is visiting. Anything you want to share? Comments, questions? As Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur stated in second canto, I think it is chapter 5, last verse, Prabhupada repeats the point that there is what is called external lila and internal lila. External lila means Krishna's interactions with his external energy, meaning everything related to that, how we're not the body, so those things are of, if you're not liberated, raise your hands if you're not liberated. If you're not liberated, then there is a preference that we study and focus on the external lila. Therefore, Prabhupada was always going through reminding us of how we're not the body, because that is pertinent to our situation. And so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But it's not that we... you know, if someone says, oh, Krishna and the gopis, and we run away, cover our ears, ah, as Prabhupada said, we're not boycotting Krishna's pastimes also. Because we can appreciate, we have to understand that God is a person and appreciate his pastimes. But we don't want to imagine ourselves to be great relishers of the pastimes and really have a confused idea of what is our position. His wonderful pastimes. As Prabhupada has mentioned in the introduction to Krishna book, Krishna's pastimes are relishable for everyone. Even the materialists will read, oh, nice romantic story, a boy and a girl and such. So we don't want to... Yes, you wanted to say something? So we don't want to avoid pastimes, but we also don't want to skip on the essential philosophy, which is also pastime. Don't think that Bhagavad Gita, you're not the body, is not pastime. That is also what is called external lila. And then there's the internal lila. So we can gain some appreciation that God is a person. Like Gauravani was here, and he gave the story. It was a real story of a man who had gone to India, and he had a really bad reaction to malaria. Yeah, malaria medicine, and he had lost his memory. He had gone basically a little mad, lost his memory, and they found him at a train station, Hora's train station. And so they took him back. They're able to find him and bring him to the hospital and kind of treat him. And they said, okay, here, this is your wife. This is your wife here. He said, I don't know. You say, but I don't know. And this, you know, this is your son. They say, I don't know. This is your wife. And you did this together. You did that together. So he said, that's how we are like with Krishna. It was like, you say, this is your great friend Krishna. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know. But gradually, the man began to remember his connection. But first he said, oh, this is your great friend Krishna. He said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know him. No, you have a very deep loving connection. No, I don't know. Yes, we had two. Pujari.
You had mentioned that the tradition was that people wouldn't eat food outside, like outside of their homes, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask kind of a practical question. I've also heard many, many times Srila Prabhupada say that if you can control the tongue, then all the other senses can be controlled relatively easily. And he said, in the most effective way is, you make a vow that you won't eat anything but Krishna Prasadam. So, if you go into most devotees' homes, probably, you'll see things, made outside, lots of things, cookies, crackers, whatever, And, I know they offer them, of course, everybody would offer them, but, how are they, would those things be accepted the same way prasadam prepared by devotees? I don't think it would, So it's kind of maybe a little bit of a complicated question. Like, I know when we used to travel, of course we, Sankirtan, we used to, it would be very difficult to, only take prasadam that was prepared by the devotees and then offered, So, but, maybe people are kind of lax, daisical about it a little bit too. So, what do you think about this? Have you?
So, basically, we don't want to have the mood that just because we're devotees, that we're immune to all kinds of situations. So whatever we do, we understand that there's some result for it. If one eats food that's not cooked by devotees, it has an effect on one's consciousness. It's not that, oh, just because I'm a devotee, that there's no effect. So one is always calculates how much of that impurity can they accept in relation to the practicality of their situation. If someone is engaged, like you said, in full-time preaching, traveling Sankirtan, then there's a lot of mercy that is also given in that situation. But you find these brahmanas, Prabhupada mentioned, they were very strict because they understand there was a lot of impurities. It would change one's consciousness. And so it's not that, just because I'm a devotee, then there's no reaction to anything I do because I'm a devotee. We always are careful and calculating how is this going to affect me. Krishna Kishore Prabhu, everybody know Krishna Kishore Prabhu from Mayapuris, he was just here. And he was talking about how he doesn't want to go out eat at a restaurant. We were both talking. And he said, we mentioned, what is the attraction of eating at a restaurant? He said, okay, as Hare Krishnas, food we have covered. a movie, that may be more attractive. Because we have limited scope of movies. But food, we have it covered. So what's the point of going out? It's like you're going to step down. They're not going to be able to cook as nice as devotees can cook. So it's like a step down, even in the point of sense gratification. But it does have, you know, it does have an effect. And so one always tries to figure out what is in the practicality of their own life and in their own service, and balance that out with being careful of the impurities that one takes upon. Does that make any sense? But not that, oh, I'm a Hare Krishna, I don't even need to worry about these things. No, we should think about what comes in. My wife had a dream of Prabhupada coming to her in a dream, and Prabhupada was telling her, you know, you should learn how to make some bread. Don't buy the store-bought bread. And she said, yes, I will work on it. There's all kinds of situations where it becomes especially hard, but Krishna notices our endeavors to try to go in that route. And one should avoid the mentality that those who are trying to serve Krishna in the way as described as the acharyas is somehow fanatical. Sometimes now that's more common. When I moved to Dallas, somebody told my wife she was a fanatic because she didn't want to eat garlic and onions, and we were just scratching our head like, what? Because the situation that we had been in was a bunch of young American devotees who joined ISKCON. So everything that we were doing, we signed up for. It was no like, it wasn't done begrudgingly. Everybody did it because they signed up for it. Versus if you're born in the movement, then you have to figure out which things you want to sign up for. Maybe I don't. Maybe I want to do a little garlic onion, or maybe I want to do this or that. Especially if a person is not initiated. So it was very confusing. It was like, this is just a regular thing. We all do this. No garlic, no onions. Easy. Actually, the first thing, when we sold a book to my wife on the street in the subway of Times Square, we invited her to our feast. She said, no, I'm a vegetarian. He said, no, the feast is a vegetarian. She said, no, I really don't like food with garlic and onions. Seriously, that's what she said right in the street. But the devotees, they signed up for this, that, you know, that joined. So it was kind of confusing. How can that be fanatic? This is just, nobody ever even considered wanting to do it, because we already signed up to do it. Just like somebody, if were to call you a fanatic for not eating meat, you'd be like, what are you talking about? This is what I want to do. So we want to be wary of those kind of Kali mentalities, that we become take those things very begrudgingly, and then see those who are just following simple things and putting it down as if it's some extremism. Yes, Prabhu, the microphone.
Who, do you remember who it was that said, if you eat grains cooked by karmis, your mind becomes wicked?
At Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Somebody, I can't remember who.
But
one of the authorized ones.
No.
Yeah. So, of course, we might say machines cook it. Karmis don't really cook store bread, but, you know, we found that.
So we take a little stretch, like I said, we don't want to just say we're Hare Krishnas, but there's a little stretch that engaging and preaching, that there's the Brahmana is that person, the Shudra, or the Malecha is somebody who doesn't care about purity. And the Brahmana is someone who is very, very concerned about purity. But the Vaishnava may enter a situation that is impure for the sake of Krishna service. Like a Vaishnava will go to like some horrible midnight street party and do kirtan. But a real brahmana, they would like, no, I don't want to be around such a thing. You know? So there's that calculation. How much is a situation applying mercy that I can actually be in this situation and not become pure, impure? Just like Prabhupada said, how to catch the big fish without getting wet.
I've learned at least to survive in the service that I do. It's better to be on the safe side.
Yes.
Because we tend to cheat.
Yes.
We tend to cheat and justify it. Our tongue's actually guiding us, but we justify it. This is the general tendency. And even if we aren't cheating as a somewhat of a leader of some kind, then others could take it and run with it, and they will be cheating. So we have to be very careful, I think.
Thank you very much. So everybody know the word rationalize. So we ration out our lies. Put a little here. Yeah. Like the person's, there's some object of sense gratification. Like the person sees, oh, okay, there's a woman there. I like this lady. Oh, but she has got a big red dot. Yeah, she's got a wedding ring on. But, ration out some lies there. Oh, she must not be happy or something. So you give it out a little here. The intelligence becomes a servant of the mind. Whereas the intelligence is supposed to be directing the mind. But if the intelligence is weak, it just gets pulled along. Oh, yes, it figures out a way to be a servant of the mind.
Can I ask my original question?
Yes, okay.
So you mentioned about Krishna's birth. And so I've heard that, I think Jiva Goswami writes about that Mother Yasoda had twins.
Yes.
So what is the consensus on ISKCON leadership accepting? Is there a final conclusion on this? Or I'm curious. Because Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, you know, kind of hints that there's, you know, maybe it's not so clear or something like that. So I'm just wondering if ISKCON has a stance on the birth of Krishna, whether, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I haven't heard it being any controversial that there's idea that there wasn't anything like that. But certain pastimes are, you know, that are given in greater detail by the Goswamis. But I haven't heard it being like, it's not like the Jiva fall or something like that, where there's different groups that accept one, as far as I know. Yeah, Krishna is the actual son of Mother Yashoda. I don't know where that, I'm sure you could read about it in Shiva Ram Swami's books, but there's probably, I don't know where the research, maybe Jiva Goswami is a source. I don't know which book it is. But. Anything else? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So tonight we have class given by His Holiness Romapad Swami. Hare Krishna. So some of the points that I said in the class were from Romapad Swami, and some of it's from Dinabandhu Prabhu.